Hello, everyone, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast that focuses on role-playing games, creativity, storytelling, and the flow that can happen when some friends or strangers sit down with some dice, a set of rules, and decide to tell a story. It's also about the community we all share within this hobby, the people that play, run, and produce the games we all love. My name is Brian. I'm going to be your host. Welcome aboard. For this episode, we are going to be kicking off what we are going to be calling our Wild is Plus actual play. For the origin of that name, you're going to have to go back and listen to the last episode, which is kind of like an episode zero or a season two restart, depending on how you want to look at it. But this actual play that we are calling Wild is Plus is going to be a little unusual as far as actual plays go. I will be hanging out with my good gamer buddy, Scott Hippensteel, or affectionately known as Dr. Hip, and we are going to be playing a Game Masterless actual play. We are going to be sitting down, we're going to be doing a role-playing game, but we don't have a GM, and we don't know where the story's going. So, we are bringing you along for the ride on this crazy little experiment of ours, and we are also hoping that as we go along, you can jump in and help us build this story and this game world. So, that being said, we are going to sit down and we are going to work through a session of a little, I wouldn't even call it a game. It's a little intro story building exercise that you can find online. It's called Spark in Fate, and it's originally designed for the Fate role-playing game. And it just seemed to be the perfect sort of vehicle for us to work together to create sort of the initial foundation of the story world that we're going to be playing in. It is a very cribbed version because, hey, no game master, and B, there's only two of us. So you're going to hear about that as we move in. So it's actually a fairly long clip and a fairly long game session. So I'm going to let this run and I'm going to get out of its way. I will see you on the other side. We're going to talk about ways you can interact with the podcast and maybe the game. So see you on the other side.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode one of this crazy, crazy role-playing game experiment we're going to try out. I am joined by my best gamer buddy and pal all around, Scott Hippensteel. Hello. Huzzah! Hello, Dr. Hip. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Are we ready for this crazy show, whatever we're doing?
Yes. Let's make it happen.
Okay. I love the enthusiasm. So what we're doing is we are going to basically play some, we're going to play some role-playing game stuff. We're going to tell a story, but we're not going to have a dungeon master. We are going to rely on some tools and mechanics and things that you would normally find in what's called solo role-playing, where you can basically role-play by yourself. You become both the game master and the player, and you work out your story through the use of random charts and die rolls and what they call oracle tables, where it throws surprises at you and you have to be creative and come up with things from the hints given. It's a very rough shot, and instead of trying to go over everything, I think we're just going to jump into it, both in this episode and the following episodes to come. This episode is all about us fleshing out the game world that we're going to play in. We don't have a name for the place. We don't have a name for the city that we're in. I think that's all going to come. A lot of what we have done is through random die rolls. Now, if you listen to episode zero, we kind of muddled our way through. We were having such a good time doing it that I went ahead and hit the record button. But what we're going to do is we're going to work off a document called Spark in Fate. And that is a very cool thing you can find online. It was written by Jason Petre, P-I-T-R-E, of Genesis of Legend Publishing. And you can find it on, I think, Drive-Thru RPG. You just type in Spark in Fate Core, and it's a pay what you want document. And what you can do, what this works as is a way for players to sit around the table and create a collaborative game world that will then be used in a Fate game, or even you could really use this for any sort of basic design for any game world, for any role-playing game rule set or setting. And it's very good. But what we're going to do, we're going to work off kind of a cribbed idea because there's only the two of us, and this is really designed for 5 or 6 players. So what we're going to do is we're going to work through this process, and I'll talk about it as we step through each step. So don't worry about that. But before we get started with Spark and Fate, I want to kind of do an overview of episode zero and of the city that we have in place right now. And this is just kind of the key points that we came up with. So first of all, we're working in and around a city. It is an inland port city on a major river, and a lot of trade makes its way, you know, through the area. It's a very popular city. It is of decent size. It's around 6,000 or 800 or so, 8,000, 6,000 to 8,000 inhabitants. You want to take the next part there, Scott?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's sort of a middle ground between frontier and civilized areas, and it's surrounded by mountains that are just big enough.
Just big enough.
Sort of flat countryside. We, you know, just kind of logically said, oh, minerals come from the mountains, tradables, and that kind of stuff. So we're going to flesh that out as we go. It doesn't appear that the threat level of the city is too high. Except for
one little thing.
About in a cycle of around 30 years, they are visited by dragons.
And we're not sure why.
No, I mean, the last time this happened, it was 2 dragons. But the previous time, it had been 4. So it's sort of not exactly predictable.
And it's believed, I think we came up with the fact that it was either some sort of social gathering for the dragons, or it could be a breeding ground. We didn't know. We still haven't figured that out. You know. The next little bit is that the city isn't doing well due to a trade war or a conflict that has begun with either a larger city, and we don't know yet. We'll probably just make that up as we go. But this larger city, it has direct links to another nearby country. It's a rival competitor. It's a little bit bigger than this frontier town. And it's possible it has something to do with the dragon cycle, or something that perhaps people gather before or after or during the dragon cycle. It might be dragon part. I mean, I don't know. We'll figure that out down the road.
And in addition to normal races, there are also monster races in this world.
Right, right.
These civilized cities, maybe more typical in the frontier areas, but we're kind of that bridge between world. So we might see lizardmen, orcs, goblins, trolls, whatever. All kind of interesting wildlife, like antelopes, dire cave bears. In addition to your dragon.
Yeah, we are dire cave bears. I have the note, they are deeply feared by everyone in the area. you better believe they are. Okay, sorry. I'm really excited about my bears.
That's going to be cool. We rolled percentage dice to come up with the magic content.
Right. Because why not?
I think it was around 70%. So we decided there's a lot of arcane, spiritual, maybe other world magics around this area.
Yeah, it's definitely a higher level magic level type area. I'm thinking more like your typical D&D setting. Again, we don't know yet, so we're just going to see how this plays out, because it opens up a whole bunch of other questions, and we're gonna try and get some of that nailed down right now. Okay, Spark and Fate. So Spark and Fate, you basically start off with, well, you list inspirations. Now, in this case, we're just going to list, each of us are going to list 2 inspirations for the game. Like, these are inspirations that we want to see, that we like. These can be books, movies, TV shows, etc. And we're going to list 2 of these, and these are going to help guide us as to the feel and spirit of the game. Who wants to go first? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? I think you're more prepared than I am for this.
One of my ideas on the edge of the frontier is that we might sort of go spaghetti westernish. In the fact that the world can be a little like frontier justice. There's an element of danger and unpredictability.
Right. Okay. Spaghetti Western. I like that. One of mine on my list is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the sense of adventure and just constant frenetic activity that is the roller coaster ride that is Raiders of the Lost Ark. So yeah, kind of a pulpy fantasy feel, if we can go with that.
No, I like that. That was also on my list.
I really, I'm so surprised.
Rough and tumble world and kind of gritty.
Oh, that's what you've got for the, okay. So what? Okay. All right.
I thought that, but I love your adventure. I mean, you kind of hit it. That's the same thing.
Okay. Okay. So what's your second inspiration?
Well, I have a multitude of one, but probably the one that I think I'm leaning on the most is Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Okay.
Because of several reasons, obviously we have dragons there.
Mm-hmm. True.
But the sense of really old magics that have been around for a long time, or you know, or elemental kind of.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And you have, I guess a lot of power struggle.
Power struggles. Okay. We'll write some of those down real quick and sort of note those. Those will come into play here very soon.
And the other thing that I always think is really unique about, or not unique, but stands out to me about Game of Thrones is that it messes with your sense of justice, right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like the bad things win.
Right. Okay, yeah, I think I like that. Kind of sense of skewed bad, good and bad, what is, what isn't. That's cool. All right, so my final one is, I'm going to go with this one, Big Trouble in Little China. Because I had written down, like, small people, big magic, kind of sense of being out of league with what's going on, and just that sort of comedy that can come from that, maybe. I just really like Big Trouble in Little China, and I thought, hey, what if that was in a fantasy element? So yeah, that's my second one. So we've got four: Spaghetti Western, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Game of Thrones, and Big Trouble in Little China. Those are our inspirations for the feel we're going through. And we may not actually get there, but that is at least our guideposts, right?
Should be interesting.
It should be interesting. Hey, man, at least I didn't put Muppet Show. I had that written down. Okay, so what we do next is we establish facts. Now, these facts are pretty much just statements that you would say. In Spark and Fake Core, I do want to add, you know, you list favorite media. You explain the inspirations from your media. We kind of lump that into one. Like I said, we're cribbing off of this. We're not doing it exactly because there's only two of us. You use the inspirations to describe the genre. We've already decided ourselves on a fantasy genre. Now we're going to establish facts. Facts are pretty much just statements that we normally would use tokens. Everybody gets tokens that you can put in to kind of make a fact solid and untouchable. We're not going to worry about that because, again, it's only the two of us. And for the most part, we get along. So we're not going to worry about that. But if I guess we want to, we can give ourselves two tokens apiece, like in case some sort of horrible argument breaks out right here live on the podcast, we can sort it out with tokens. Does that work for you, Scott?
That's fair.
Okay. we already have some facts that were established in episode 0. We've already covered those. These are going to be facts that add to those facts. We're basically building off of episode 0 and these inspirations we've put down. So, facts. You went first on media and inspirations. I'm going to go first on facts. Is that cool with you?
Perfect.
Cool. I'm going to say that in the city, I'm riffing off of the, you know, border town in between two states, in between two geographical states, between mountains and arid plains. And in the city, there are two distinct areas, which are highbrow nobles, highbrow merchants, and then low-born, crazy frontier types. So you have a high society and then a frontier society that are in the city, right? So the city itself is split. Does that work for you? That work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe something that will come out of this, maybe not of the facts, but further down the road, is there's got to be some place where they intersect.
Are you going to say that as a fact, or?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Some kind of whether it's an inn, that has a, you know, hey, it's classy on the outside, but there's a secret back room where you can do business when you need it.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to make that a note. That's a note underneath the city is split into two areas. Okay, so a central area, an inn or a tavern. I'm going to just throw out there, it could be a marketplace and an inn or a tavern, a central, maybe it has like a central well where when the city was first founded, everyone would go to get their water. All right, what's your fact, buddy?
If it comes off of these media influences, a couple of things come to mind. One was sort of, I guess, that the magic in the world might be old or deep or big, like kind of coming together in that. They're like there's some real depth to the magic in this part of the world.
Okay. So it's old, like old magic. Yeah. Would that be, I keep thinking that it has something to do with the mountains. What do you think about that? This is your fact, so you can veto stuff. Feel free.
Well, and I think you could say, and that could, exactly, no, that it's connected to the mountains because things like maybe the ore that comes out of the mountains has some magical property.
Ooh.
Comes through the mountains is better for making potions and magical items. The animals that live in the mountains have some quality to their hide that is better for themselves, you know.
Oh, so the just maybe the mountains themselves, maybe, yeah, something has, like the magic is in the mountains.
There's magic and then there are hills.
And, remember that. We'll have to, that could be a good aspect when we get to it. That's good. Okay, I like that. All right, so then, so what we're going to do, I thought it would be best if, as far as number of, facts that, so we could do maybe three apiece. Do you think that'll give us six total facts to work off of?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to say the roads outside the city, and we'll kind of play off your spaghetti western idea, as well as maybe a little bit of that Game of Thrones inspiration, that the roads outside the city are treacherous, both physically, both from like the environmentally treacherous, as well as physical threats from bandits, critters, giant dire cave bears, that sort of thing. So the roads around the city are treacherous. Around the area are treacherous. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right, you're up.
I think we need to say something about, we mentioned earlier something about it being sort of an important trade route, crossroads, if you will.
Yes.
And so I guess I was thinking about maybe, we could say, I don't, it almost ties to that, was like the river is safer just a little bit than the roads.
I like that.
The preferred means of travel. I don't know how you.
The rivers are safer than the roads.
There you go.
Yeah, that could be because the water is coming out of the magical mountains, and there's maybe nothing really bad. Like, yeah, the rivers are safer than the roads. I really actually, that works well for me. But does that mean we'd have like What kind of transportation is on the rivers? Are these like flatbed river boats? Are we talking like, let's go all the way and play with the fantasy steamboats or something like that?
Ooh.
What do you think?
I mean, I don't have a problem with adding the steamboat thing. I guess it would depend a little bit on how intense the river is. like how big of a, like, you know, if it's like the Mississippi, you're going to have trouble getting up there with a little raft.
Sure. You're right. That does that. Given the fact it's a major, we'll say a major river, well, a major trade route. Yeah. Maybe something a little bit smaller than the Mississippi. Something to think about. We could roll dice for that. What do you think?
Yeah, a good sized river.
Yeah, okay. Good sized river.
And we could just say that it has river boat traffic of a large variety of sizes and
sure.
I'm fine with the steamboat idea, little rafts from local vendors, but you might have some bigger boats that are coming in from the mouth of the river or about down at wherever it comes out, which we haven't talked about yet.
Right. Okay.
From farther away then.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Let's see. So the best facts are evocative, concise, and specific relating. Yeah. Evocative, concise, and specific. Okay, so for mine, I'm trying to think, I'm looking at our inspirations and the magic in the world is old and deep. I'm thinking about like ancient civilizations, right? Ancient things to be found in the mountains, or even better, let's do this. Okay. There are ruins and bits of an older civilization, not only in the mountains, which are harder to find, but there are the same thing in the border area between where the desert, the arid sort of flatlands meets and goes into the foothills and into the edge of the mountains, right? So things can be found there. Does that work for you?
Yes.
So basically, the fact is an ancient civilization was here previously. Who knows what it's tied to? Who knows what it's about? But it's something for people to go get stuff from if they dare. If it works for you, it works for me.
It works great. Yeah, that could be really great because, the relics have surfaced over the years of curious, people.
Okay.
Interest.
I'm actually going to add to that because I think one of the things that you can do with facts here in Spark and Fate is you can do like names and places, and there is, and this might be fodder for our PCs, right? Like this might give us our initial oomph as to what those characters are doing, but there's a group that has a building in the city that is specifically focused on explorers that are going out into those ruins, right? Like a club. We're not a gang, we're a club. It's a group or a club of adventurers that go out to find this stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that a group of hardy adventurers because survival ain't real easy in this world.
Yeah, okay.
But I good, love
yeah.
That. Yeah.
I'm not seeing this as like an illustrious building, like an illustrious marble colonnaded building. I'm seeing this as like a rundown, like Cobb building with shingles missing on the roof, maybe a broken window and like
your town looking shack.
Yeah. Like it's just this rundown shack because nobody like really believe, like there's stuff out there, but everybody's like, nah, there's nothing of any value out there. Like every now and then a cool statue comes out of it or maybe some gems, but the gems and the stuff that come out of it aren't worth dealing with the crap you've got to deal with to get there, including giant dire cave bears. And I told you, I'm going to hammer this. I'm going to just keep talking about it. And so it's like this rundown, like not a rundown shack, but it's a shack.
Dilapidated.
Yes. It's just like kind of just tired. Yeah. It's tired there. Maybe there's not been much found lately. And it's this group of adventurers that are like, yeah, we haven't found anything in like 10 years, but we're sure it's still out there. We just haven't found anything good. Yeah. Okay. All right.
This is good. Yeah. This is very good.
Okay. That's my three. city is split into two areas. Roads around the area are treacherous, and an ancient civilization on the edge of the mountains and arid flatlands with a group of hardy adventurers that specialize in the field in some sort of beat up rundown house.
Right.
Right. Okay. Hit me with your best shot.
Wait, what's your mind?
Yours were the magic in the world is old and deep, and the rivers are safer than the roads.
Oh, mine are really short.
No, that's okay. They've added a lot. They've added a lot that we can build on, and it gives good. It gives very good foundation.
Are there any of the inspirations that we didn't really touch on yet?
We haven't really talked about the power struggles. We haven't really. So what, if I can just ask, one of the things in Spark and Fate is that the GM would ask questions to promote discussion, and the players use tokens to be able to claim facts. I may or may not have mentioned that. So like, let me throw a question at you. Like, we had talked about the cities in a power struggle. We've not really identified that power struggle, except that it's from another city and it's in some sort of trade war that is causing the city to implode a little bit and maybe bring in, don't forget, I may not have mentioned this in the overview, but it bring in like a criminal element into the city, like a thieves guild or like a some sort of darker merchant guild or something. We're not sure, but it's some sort of criminal activity that's stepping in to help the populace with the issues of not getting what they need. So maybe more about that. What do we know about that?
That's good. The Thieves Guild. Well, I guess we could say maybe they haven't been able to make as many potions or tradable good items. Goods and tradable items. There we go. That's the sentence I was looking for. And lately, and so therefore, they're sort of, the production is down a little bit. And things like finding these magical items in the ruins or other things like that also hasn't been really happening. So everything's kind of slowed down of late. And we mentioned maybe something like the Thieves Guild coming in to like say, hey, well, I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm going with this.
No, I like it. I like it. I like the fact that like the whole city is experiencing this crazy slowdown, like enough to get by. So let me jump in with something. Maybe the trade war is about the nobles launched this trade war maybe a year or two ago and thinking that things were good. And maybe it was just, you know, the equivalent of like, last season, right? This they started getting into more serious competition with this neighboring city state, and then things started to dry up, right? Which has caused this further issue of lack of supplies. Now they don't have the ability to make the cool stuff from the old world magic that's deep in the mountains.
Yeah. Well, why don't we say it was connected to a natural disaster? Maybe when you said dry up. Either one, the river's low, they couldn't get up the river with goods and services, or they had a really hard winter, and it was frozen up for a while, and slowed everything down. People couldn't get out to the mountains.
Okay.
Something like, there was some sort of reason for it, but now we're just, everybody's itching to get out there and do something there because it's all been locked up for a while.
Okay. I like that. So we'll say the city is locked up, has been locked up. City has been locked up. Well, how has it been locked up? That's the question. It's been locked up by either. So I think this is time for a die roll. This is your fact, so you're going to have to make the die roll. So it's been locked up by either a drought or winter, a very hard winter. Do we have any more we want to add to that? I can't think of anything else.
No, I don't think so. I mean, because, yeah, I guess that doesn't play into the trade war, but it could mean that there's just a lack of goods for the trade.
Right. There's a lack of goods in order for them to stay and remain competitive.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3 is drought. 4, 5, 6 is hard winter.
Make it happen. Do it.
6.
6. Hard winter. So because of the hard winter, they've not been able to get these trade goods out or even made. There's been all sorts of trouble in the city, and some sort of shadowy element in the city has started to step forward to assist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is rampant.
What was that? What was that last part?
Cabin fever is rampant.
Oh, cabin fever is rampant. Let's also, I'm going to also jump in and say, the shadowy organization has risen to offer help to the common folk, but that's only because the nobles, remember, we have a city that's locked down into two different things. The nobles are kind of withdrawing, like they've withdrawn and they're not offering really any help themselves. Maybe they might even be split within the noble house and the castes, where some are trying to help, but for the most part, the nobles have kind of closed themselves off and not offering any help to the common people.
Well, that's a good conflict. So the shadow organization, do they have a name?
I think we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay. So we've got quite a few. We got some stuff to work on here. Okay, awesome. Are we good with this?
Yes.
These facts, city is split into two areas, an area where there's also an area where they intersect, an inn or a tavern, marketplace, we're not sure. Magic in the world is old and deep. Roads around the area are treacherous. Rivers are safer than the roads. Ancient civilization ruins on the edge of the mountains and in arid flatlands. A group of hardy adventurers that specialize in that field are connected to it somehow. And the city has been locked by a hard winter right after having a trade war declared. Cabin fever is rampant. Shadowy organization rises to offer help to common folk. Nobles have withdrawn into their ivory towers. Very good. Very good. Okay, so next up, we take our facts, and we've already done this, actually. We've already done some of this. We then, in Spark and Fate, you would create a title. We're not going to worry about that right now. We're just going to be happy with Wild is Plus, which was a phrase that came out of our episode zero, which I've fallen in love with. We both have fallen in love with the phrase Wild is Plus. So, I don't know. We may come up with a title for this whole thing, but for now, that's what we're working with. So now, we create sparks. And these are basically problems and questions that may become full issues. We'll come up with issues after we do the sparks. These can be proposed by any player around the table. Normally, everybody would get two. Right now, I think we're going to do with what we did with like three apiece. Mm-hmm. Maybe four. We'll just kind of freeform this. So these are problems and questions that are going to become full issues. So we'll let's look at our list. We already have some, right? Like I said, we've already done some of this, but a spark is obviously this shadowy organization that is offering help to common folk because the nobles have withdrawn. It's kind of a repeat of that previous fact, but I think it's a good spark. Mm-hmm. What we'll do is we're going to refine some of these sparks down to issues that are going to affect our PCs directly, which will then set us up to make our PCs in our next, and then get us started as we begin to play the game itself. Right. So we've got one spark, which is this is going to possibly turn into an issue. There's a shadowy organization offering common folk help. And because the nobles have basically thumbed their nose at the common folk, because nobles. I have another one, if maybe you want. Do you have one? Do you want me to throw out a second one, or do you have one?
Keep throwing them, because...
Okay, I'm going to keep throwing them. The next one, it just popped in my head. There's been rumors that a new set of ruins have been found before the hard winter came. But just before the hard winter, there were rumors that another set of ruins has been found.
You could almost tag off of that saying, so there's kind of a, I don't know what to call it, race on in the city, but everybody wants to get out there and check out these ruins. So there's a bit of a competitiveness about.
Right. I think that could definitely turn into an issue.
How about this? Now that the weather has broken, and these rumors of these new ruins have spread out, there are additional new adventurers have come to town to explore the ruins and find out what they hold. So it's kind of an influx of people.
Influx of new people, influx of new blood.
Yeah, but they're sort of single-minded, you know, like some of them are kind of cutthroat and dangerous.
Okay.
Because they're after, you know, I'm after those ruins. Nobody's going to get my way, kind of.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna throw out, because this kind of has gone under the radar. It was kind of a major player in episode zero, but I'm going to talk about the dragons real quick. Mm-hmm. We never said when. We said it was every 30 years. but it's obvious. I think it's obvious that we have to say as a spark that this coming spring is the beginning, is basically the next cycle, right? To make that fact, to make those fact, that fact that we came up with in episode zero, to make it relevant to the story, because we're not going to go 30 years from now, right? Like, that's going to be a heck of a podcast run, and I'd be glad to do it, but.
We just say dragons are due back anytime.
Yeah, dragons are due back anytime. I think that is just, so we'll throw that out as a spark. We'll see if it becomes an issue. That's my three. You've got, what you got for me?
I'm not moving as fast as you are. I like all those that you've come up with.
And really, this is a stomping ground for throw whatever you want out. It doesn't mean we're going to use any of these. This is just whatever you can think of that matches with what we've already come up with. If you just have an idea, just toss it out there.
I was going to say something like, maybe to clarify the last one, when they said, we just say something like competition to explore the ruins has increased.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more.
Well, that would put additional pressure on our little group too.
Right. Competition to explore ruins is more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's increased. It's gotten, the city is getting a little bit. There's a little bit more pressure going on for people to get out there. I like it.
Yeah.
Is this where I throw the spark that it's believed and rumored that the cave bears are getting organized to invade the city? No? Is this not a good time?
No. They.
Come on, man. Okay. All right. I'll back off that one. I'll back off it. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
You have to discover that on your own. These cave bears are organizing.
It could happen.
Well, yeah, I don't want that, but maybe what is organizing is some group of dragon slayers or people that, maybe there's a regular cycle, I don't know how to word it, but there's like a regular cycle of that crowds back to the town when it's dragon time. That wants to see a dragon, and you know.
Oh, so dragon spectators.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Okay, so dragon tourists. And I know we talked about this in episode zero, that there might be dragon hunters that come to, I don't know, maybe try to take a prize during the breeding season. But if there's only, like, the last time there was only two or four, and like, I'm thinking they're pretty tough dragons, and it may not be a good idea, but dragon tourists are coming to town. There may be some hardcore dragon slayers in there, but they're coming into town, what I see, I love that, because what that means now is we are definitely getting a powder keg of, you got this. So put all the facts together, right? You've got this frontier town. You have this divisive thing that's happening between the commoners and the nobles. There's some supplies that are running out. The city is a little hard pressed to meet the demand. All of a sudden you get this rumor that there's stuff over out in the mountains with new ruins. You get an influx of people, maybe not the best personality to have around. And now you've got dragons coming back and dragon tourists. I love dragon tourists are coming back into town. So you've got this city that is this fantasy town city that is about to explode, right? I love it.
Yes.
Okay. We need one more. Do you have one more in you? Yeah, don't forget, according to the facts, we have cabin fever is rampant. So that's making things worse too. So another issue, another spark, something that could ignite.
I was thinking about it, could be something tied to the magic. There's some instability with the magic. There have been little rumblings, or I don't know exactly what yet. But you see what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In the mountains, or there's been strange smoke, or I don't know what, or an irregularity with the way the
magic. We could make it a rumor of odd magics in around the area. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll leave that there. We don't know what that means, but we're just gonna leave it there. Okay. All right. I think I'm good. Are you good? Any more you want to throw out there? That's six.
I guess I'm just looking at these, thinking, do we cover enough? Do we?
Oh, I think so. I think we've got, yeah. I think we're in pretty good shape. All right, so I think we're good. We can move on to step 7, which in Spark and Fate is called Select the Issues. Now, typically in the rules as they're written, the Game Master or the Dungeon Master would basically pick. There's 3 different issues from your list, and you roll a, I think we should roll a dice if we're going to stick to the random Game Master. So one of our Sparks will become a legacy issue. This is an issue that's a dominant problem in the city. It's been going on for, or in the area, it's been going on for a while. We may have to modify one of the Sparks to match the fact that it's a legacy instead of something new, but we can kind of play with that. But they basically, a legacy issue is something that's left a mark on the world. Then one of the Sparks is a current issue, and this is going to probably be the main, the main dominant theme of our first story arc. This is going to be the current issue that our characters are going to be involved in, most likely. And we'll have to see where the die falls on that one. And then there, the third one is an impending issue. And these are the problems and threats on the horizon, according to the rules as written. So these are sort of seeds of future, things to come that are maybe pressing in, but they're not, they haven't quite arrived yet. So if you're good with that, we've got 6 Sparks here. We might want, do we want 2 more Sparks? No, I think we can go with 6. Do you think 6 is good, or do we need 2 more?
Let's try and see where they lay, and then we could always, depending on how they fit into these.
Yeah. Okay. So for a legacy issue, we need to roll a die. Do you want to roll it, or do you want me to? 1 6-sided.
Why don't you just want to
roll a D6, and that's going to tell us which one is our legacy. Then we'll roll again for the current issue, and then we'll roll again for impending.
So they are numbered right in the order we said.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Now you're rolling. Okay.
Number 4.
4. Dragons are due back anytime. That would be the legacy issue. How do we want to spin that?
Well, it's something that's happened for many.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that... It is a legacy. Dragons are due back. They're always due back anytime, right?
Right.
They say it's 30 years, but there's always... Oh, here, what about this? As far as a legacy issue, there are always dragons around the area. Let's add to that a little bit and say the legacy of the fact that dragons are due... Like, that there's this dragon cycle is that there are dragons around... There's usually a dragon somewhere in the area that has staked a claim on the territory. So the legacy is that this area is known for dragons. And yeah. So maybe that impinges the name of the city, maybe impinges, I don't know if that's the right word to use there, but I used it. So cool. Maybe that involves the name of the city, that maybe involves the name of the city guard. Like, dragons are a reoccurring theme in the city because it's what happens here, yo. And that's exactly how people speak in this city. Yo.
Idea. You can call them the Dragon Spine Mountains.
Dragon Spine. Isn't that Taken? Isn't there a Dragon Spine Mountains in Forgotten Realms?
You know what? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, quick to Google. Yeah, well, let's Google that. Not now, but let's... I think that's a thing.
You're right. It could be.
It feels like a thing. We could call it... Cave Bear Mountains. I warned you when we started. Okay, all right. So current theme, it's my turn to roll. This is a big roll. I'm nervous about this roll. Are we ready? Uh-huh. This is the current issue. This is like what we're going to be designing characters around and all, man. Like, this is, I'm literally excited. Okay. Oh, okay. Scratch that one. It's a 4. All right. Oh, ah. Okay, I'm going to roll again because 4 is was already taken.
It
is. 3. 1, 2, 3. Influx of new blood, new people in the city. Competition has increased to explore the ruins.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the current issue that is going to impact pretty much our whole story, which means we're going to be talking about the ruins, which makes perfect and wonderful sense.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I love it. I love it when a plan comes together, even when I didn't even make the plan. Okay, impending. The impending issue is your roll. Make it happen. Don't roll a 4 or a 3. 4 or 3 is null.
I rolled a 6.
6. Rumor of odd magics around the area. That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's an impending issue. There is talk of it. Who knows what could come of that? Okay, perfect. All right, making that note. We're good. All right, so we are almost done, my man. Almost done. How are you feeling about this so far?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, you're going to leave it at one. You're not going to use the other. You're not like going to double up. You use the other sparks anywhere else, right?
They can be there. I think the sparks can be there, but these three issues are the issues that our Game Master has picked for the world right now. I think the other sparks can hang out. We might want to touch on them if they come up.
Yeah.
But I think that these are the sparks that our Dungeon Master has picked. So these are the ones that we'll be rolling with. The other ones are kind of hanging out to the side. I think they're there, but...
Yeah, kind of facts, like the rumors of a new set of runes that were found. Oh, it could just be rumor, is what you're saying. It might not be real.
Right. It was a rumor. The fact was there was a rumor of ancient civilization ruins that somebody had come back and said they might have found more.
Okay. I'm with you now. Cool.
That was the general idea of the spark. Okay.
So we need some people that are going to explore the ruins.
Obviously. Yeah, I think that's where we're going with this. Our four characters, that's where we're going. I think that sounds good. So next step in, yeah, that's, yes, we're, I don't know what I'm saying. Cool. Never mind. Cave bears. Okay. yeah.
Right now.
It's late. I'm blanking over here. Okay, so the next step, step eight in Spark and Fate is you create aspects. Now, aspects are very much an element of the Fate system. You would use those. There are game mechanics for how those aspects come into play. If we use Fate Accelerated for the rule set, these are going to become very important. We're not decided on that yet. We're getting there. But if you were going to play D&D with this, these would just be hanging out and would kind of help inform the game world a little bit further. I guess you could come up with a mechanic to use aspects in D&D. That's maybe not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to think about that. So, but what we do is we create one aspect. We just work it out amongst ourselves. We create one aspect that works for each of those issues. So for instance, I'll take the first one just as an example, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So our first one, dragons are back any are due back any time. That sort of morphed into dragons in the area.
Yeah, dragons are always in the area.
Yeah. So if we wanted to turn that, and it also dragons are important to they're relevant to the city, either in a city name or the city watch or like trinkets sold to tourists. That sort of thing. Like the city is known for this dragon event that happens, and also considered a little reckless to go there during the dragon event because we haven't decided yet if the city has ever been impacted by like a dragon attack, but I'm guessing probably. It's kind of like the running of the bulls, except with dragons.
Predictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Right. Right. I just picture this dragon breeding meeting ground, like 10 miles to the north of the city, like in a mountainous meadow or something. And then every now and then, like every 150 years, it's a crap. Like every time they come, it's a crapshoot. You just never know if like a dragon's going to fly over and burn half the city or freeze it or acid it or whatever. So it's like people go there for that thrill and adventure to be like, hey, maybe we're going to get burned. That would be cool. We'll have a story to tell the grandkids. Okay, so for that aspect, if we were playing Fate, that might be something fun. We could say dragons are always in the area, but that's not bad, actually.
It's just real generic.
Yeah, it's just generic. It's kind of meh. For the sake of time, we're just going to say dragons everywhere. No, I don't like that. They're not everywhere. We need them to be special events. Unlike the cave bears, which are everywhere. And so dragons are...
There be dragons, yo!
There be dragons. No, stop that right now. You know, when I did it, I thought it sounded funny, but now I heard it and I realized just how idiotic I sounded.
Well, it'll be like a Friends preview of this month.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, what, for now, dragons in the area. We'll just leave it at that. So our aspect for the current issue, which is competition, like basically the new ruins, need an aspect for that.
Race for the ruins.
Perfect. Race for the ruins. Okay. And then our impending issue is rumors of odd magic around the area. An aspect, weird magic. I like aspect weird magic.
Yeah.
That's weird. That can go so many different ways and could be tapped. You know, if you're invoking in fate, that could just be, you could have a heck of a good time with that. That could be compelled in so many horrible ways.
Could be in the earth.
Yeah. We don't know. Okay. That's good. All right. So those are the aspects. Okay. So the next step, there are two steps that are kind of final steps, and those are create faces and create places in Spark and Fate. And I think if you're okay with this, Scott, I think we're going to skip this. I think we have more than enough information, and what we're going to do solo play wise, this is at least my thought, please give me yours. But what we're going to do with the solo play side of things is really, really good at like helping build these as we go. And I don't think we need to do these. What do you think?
Yeah. Let's take a look at the next system.
Right. Right. When we start to play, we'll probably be using kind of a mixture of the Mythic solo game system, which is really probably one of the better systems out there. There's a bunch of good ones out there if you want to ever dip your toes in. I may actually do a separate, we may just sit down and do a separate podcast about good solo systems. But for now, I really like Mythic, and I think that it's going to serve us the best as we get started. And then system-wise, we're still in discussion whether or not we want to do Fate Accelerated, which is a more narrative system, which I'm a fan of, or if we're going to try and do this with D&D so we can illustrate and sort of show folks who are playing D&D how something like this could be done with D&D. I'm kind of torn. We're still working it out. So stay tuned for more info regarding that. So you're okay? You're okay with us not doing the faces or the names right now?
Exactly. We're going to move away to our different way of doing it.
Now, cool. So then I think the next point, and then we can maybe wrap this up, is characters. I think it's obvious that we need to create a group of four characters that are going out on the current issue, which is to explore the ruins amidst a lot of intense competition.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a little bit of moxie. They can't just be...
I think it's a mix. I think there's going to be some with moxie, and I think there needs to be at least one or two characters that are just desperate enough to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
They don't have to be good. They just need to be stubborn and lucky. That goes back to the spaghetti Western, right?
There you go.
We can kind of pull off that idea that these are. Now, here's a key question. Before we break and begin building our characters. Now, I'm going to say I think we should both build two characters that we don't talk about. I'm not going to tell you what I'm about to make. What do you think? Do we want to do it that way, or do we want to create a cohesive team of four characters? What do you think?
Well, I think it'd be more random and fun to not talk about it.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, if you wanted this perfect team, but I think it'd be more fun if they weren't the perfect team, so.
Yeah, I think on the off chance that we end up making like four monks, then we need to maybe, like you make a monk and a cleric and I make a monk and a druid, then we maybe want to switch things up. So let's see how it goes. Let's make two characters and then we'll discuss. We'll probably do it off microphone and then we'll bring it back in the next episode and we'll have a good time discussing them at that point. See how that goes. I think we're done. Anything else? What do you think? Thoughts, questions, comments, Dr. Hip?
When we come back next time, we can talk about our thought process behind these characters.
Sure, yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. But I think this is a really good place to wrap up tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we've covered a lot of ground. I hope everybody has enjoyed this and this crazy experiment that we're doing. Give you an idea of the whole idea is to kind of show people this creative flow that can happen when you just kind of sit down and talk about a story. What's going to be more fun is when we start to play and we're going to be taking random elements, combining them into a story that we ourselves don't even know where it's going. That's what I'm excited about. And we're just going to see what kind of magic happens. In my experience as a solo role player, when I've done games like this, I have been thrilled and excited about the stories that I came up with that I had like the combination of things that happen that create the story. It's a kind of magic and I love it. So I'm hoping to share that with this podcast as we go forward and have all the fun we possibly can doing this. Well, sir, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hip, for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Good, sir.
Indeed. Good creativity here today.
So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
Can one of my characters, can they ride a cave bear?
Absolutely. I mean, that kind of fits with the druid, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking like a druid gnome that rides a dire cave bear. Is that too OP, moderator? Yeah, no,
you look like a little squirrel up there.
Oh, well, you know, it could be like a squirrel gnome.
Well, it doesn't make perfect sense, you know.
Yeah, okay, maybe we don't want to get that too crazy, but it's just a thought. I don't know. I'm not done with the cave bears. It's gonna happen, man. I'm going to be so excited because it's going to happen. The dice are going to fall in my favor and it's going to happen. And there's going to be like a dire cave bear that our players are going to fight. And probably both my characters will die. You know it. No, all right.
It'd be an epic gaming session.
It would be. It'd be normal for me. It'd be standard operating procedure for the way my games typically go with my characters. All right. Thank you, Dr. Hip. This has been a lot of fun.
Hi.
On to the next one.
Good roads.
Yeah, good roads.
And there you have it. So far, the initial foundation has been laid, and we have our marching orders in order to make up some characters and to get going with the game, which we are going to do in the very next episode of this podcast. So be sure that you tune in to hear more of the craziness of what we're doing. In the next episode, we will definitely be getting into the actual mechanics and breakdown of what we are doing in the game session. And this was kind of a special session that allowed us to kind of riff off of what we did in episode 0 and build more of the world and build more depth. So we knew kind of where we were launching off into. We are now going to go make characters that surprise ourselves and each other. And going to jump into the fray next episode, so be there for it. We are going to work out polls and ways you can interact with the game world. We'll be asking you for questions or ideas as we move forward. That probably won't happen for the next few episodes, but look forward to that, because most importantly, we both agree that we want this to be a shared game world. And so, yeah, speaking of shared experiences, let's not forget that I do have a prompt out there. I talked about it in the previous episode, but I am asking for all of you to send me in email stories based on a prompt. And that prompt right now is, tell me about your favorite NPC. That NPC can be from the point of view of the player or the game master that created them. And tell me how that NPC, that beloved NPC, either affected players or the story or the plot or whatever. Just hit me up with some emails and I will read them on the air. And we'll kind of do an episode, depending on how many I get, that kind of covers all of these cool stories. And then a few episodes down the line, I will give you another prompt and we'll do it all over again. It'll be great. So also, if you want to get a hold of me for an interview, let's say you just want to chat, you want to talk about some natural geekery, how you came into the hobby, tell me about your characters, tell me about your game world, any of that, your experiences within this hobby, that's great. You can contact me on the email. You can contact me on Twitter at Coyote Guy or Natural Geekery. You can also contact me on the website, the Natural Geekery website. All of that will be down below in the show notes. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have a product that you would like to talk about, or talk about a series of products that you've done, either for a game company or through the Dungeon Masters Guild or the DMs Guild, or any of these other websites that are doing publications like that, hit me up, talk to me. We will have an interview and we'll get to talk about all the cool, fun stuff that we like to talk about. So that's it. I think that's it. Thank you for joining me for the initial episode of Wild Is Plus. And we will be back next time with characters, crazy hijinks, and maybe dire cave bears. I certainly hope not, but I'm not leaving it out of the equation. Okay, everybody, have a good one. Don't forget, you're needed out here. Please keep shining. Talk to you next time. Take care.